You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones back this time around.
Morning.
As you were in Pittsburgh.
I was.
You were. You found out what IKEA is?
IKEA's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of threw my girlfriend under the bus a little bit to start.
On the tweet.
IKEA was kind of cool. Yeah. I kind of like it.
So
I could spend a lot of money there.
So your adventures in Pittsburgh.
It was good to get out of there.
Yeah. But your adventures in Pittsburgh, they include IKEA as one of the highlights. But it's good to have you back here, buddy.
Thanks.
Because stuff has happened.
Yeah, the weather's much colder here. Yeah,
oh, my God.
Which is crazy. Pittsburgh, it was like 75 and sunny the whole time. I show back up, it's like 55 and overcast. I'm like, oh, I missed you so much. I missed this.
But at the same time, before you left, the weather was great.
That's right. I took it with me.
Yeah.
And then I left it.
And then you left it there.
And then I left it.
You forgot something.
Well.
Good job.
We'll figure it out. We'll be there.
But a lot has happened.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Joe Callie and I, we hosted this back on Friday. And then the two of us went in two separate directions. We go to, Joe goes to the Bandits game.
Mm-hmm.
And I head out to Rochester for the Amherst game two against Laval. Both electric settings, both had parties outside, and it broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because, like, man, it's been 14 years. Food trucks weren't really a popular thing yet.
No,
the last
now
time the Sabres made the playoffs. Food truck owners, if the Sabres make the playoffs, food truck owners are going to be the first people to start salivating at profits.
I'm just like, we will just park right there.
Not the Buffalo Sabres.
Just right there.
Food trucks.
Just a little off.
I'm not kidding.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Walk out to a block party in Rochester, grab myself a patty melt from a food truck, and have a great time.
I'm a big food truck foodie.
Yes.
Like, I like traveling to other cities and experiencing their food trucks. I did not do that for Pittsburgh this year. Did not do that.
But the local establishments are just on wheels.
And it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a party in the plaza.
Yeah.
With a bunch of local food
breaks
trucks. Yeah, baby.
Heart. The Sabres do this. I swear to God, the city's not going to know how to function because we haven't done this in 14 years.
Well, we've seen how New York with the Knicks is functioning now that they've made an Eastern Conference final, and it's basically pandemonium.
They're not. There's riots in the streets.
And I'd imagine Buffalo would be pretty close to that. I mean, we all joke, like, would it be if the Sabres or Bills won their respective championships? I think now we're at a point with the Sabres of, if they just made the playoffs, it'd be bedlam.
I instructed my program director. I will betray you. I'm not covering the draft the minute that the Sabres make the playoffs. I'm at the arena.
You've openly let him know that.
Yes. And it's to a point of, I'll work, just not the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will betray you for that.
Which is nice, though. You're like, I don't want off. Like, I'll work. It's going to be in a different avenue. Which is good for you.
Yeah. I just want that now. I want to betray my boss. Those are words I don't think anyone should ever say publicly, let alone with no context. But I'm going to say that. And yet, why am I so fascinated about things like this with even the Sabres, for example? Well, Toronto did it again. Holy smokes. They did it again. Boy. Not only did they just do the Leafs thing again, change is now inevitable. Not just for the Leafs, but for the entire National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to shift on its head. That's the part that is going to intrigue me truly the most. This past year, the Sabres did not take advantage of Boston falling from grace. Now Toronto might have to do the same. They're not re-signing Mitch Marner. They might not even re-sign John Tavares at a discount. What does that mean? It means Toronto's going to take a hit, probably a little bit of one, in the coming years. Because last year it didn't happen with Boston after they lost a lot of players. And it's like, okay, when's it actually going to happen? The answer was this past year. So within the next couple of years, Toronto's going to feel the sting of a Mitch Marner-sized hole in their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
because they do not have first-round picks. They do not have they have like one prospect that might be ready for the big time. But if you have to replace two top six forwards, well, you better hope that UFA offers up more than Mitch Marner.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. This is ultimately, this is 8 years of trying and trying desperately and failing. That you had to make a lot of big boy moves. You had to do a lot of stuff. You had to kind of empty the cookie jar. Now it comes due. And you kind of, it feels like, it's not official, but it feels like you burnt the bridge with Marner. He's going to walk. Tavares, you probably should let go anyways.
The fans are booing every time he touched the puck in the third period.
Jerseys are on the ice last night during play.
During play. That is garbage behavior.
Yeah, that's not good, but it also kind of tells you just, in if you wanted a microscopic look at how the city's feeling about the team right now, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. That's 8 years of trying desperately and failing. And not just failing, but
in game seven, failing.
But doing it in style. Miserably. Having a guy like Brad Marchand own you. What was Jeremy's stat say? He's 5-0 against the Toronto Maple Leafs in elimination games.
Yep.
4 with Boston, now 1 with Florida. He owns you. Scored the last goal last night at 3 total points. And this group in particular, it's not like this just brutal grind out game seven loss where Matthews has 2 goals. You know, Marner has 3 assists, and they're producing, and they're it's not falling their way. The core group fails regularly.
Yep.
Regularly. And what was Matthew's quote last night? Too many guys were passengers. Dude, you're kind of the guy. You're the face of that.
At the least, you're the pilot.
Yeah.
The failure. If there's too many guys that are passengers, you call it out as such, you're the pilot.
I saw him say that, and I was like, oh, you're the last person I would have okayed saying that. Like a Leafs PR person should have been like, shut up, don't say that.
Well, at that point, it's too
everything.
Late.
Cut his mic. But it's just, it's.
At that point, the PR person's going, no.
Or the PR person's going like, add him to the list, he's gone too. All right, cool, let's let's ride.
But that's the strangest thing, is that they can move on from this core, or at least half of this core four that they have of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares. Marner and Tavares are UFAs.
Yeah.
And you need to add another person. So that means that they might be active in the trade market. They are going to be active in unrestricted free agency based on what the free agency class might bring. Oh, by the way, there's more cap space for NHL teams now. You know what gets me giddy in the morning, Zach, on July 1st? NHL general managers with more money to spend than they know what to do with.
Which, if you look at NHL GMs, it's like
they don't have
money.
A good track record when they are given more money.
It's pretty much any money, they kind of lose it.
Someone might, and I'm going to say it's a bad idea. Someone might give Sam Bennett $9 million a year.
I know that's going to break my heart because I really want the Sabres to add Sam Bennett really bad.
But I'll tell you right now.
I was flirting with the idea of being a bad
team
GM out
drinks,
there.
If the team drinks from the stupid juice, which they do for unrestricted free agency, general managers get all sorts of crazy.
Yeah.
With extra cap space. That's why Vegas rose to prominence so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's because there were so many of those bad contracts.
Yep.
The 2017 free agency class, never forget it. And they rarely learn lessons.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm genuinely fascinated
to see what happens when a guy like Mitch Marner, arguably in his prime or at least kind of in the middle of it, hitting free agency, a guy like Sam Bennett, who you could argue has been a key piece to Florida's rise to, I mean,
Florida might have to make a choice between Bennett and Aaron Ekblad.
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be tough. But like, also, you look at Florida, they're facing Carolina in the Eastern Conference Finals. Who's the other big choke artist in the Eastern Conference? It's Carolina. So Florida is staring down the pipe of making 3 straight cup finals.
And that's a lot of hockey to play.
But also, that's where you're going to get a team going, we need any piece of that team.
Any piece
of that team is going to help us. And I've already said it. I would happily take Sam Bennett. Now, we've discussed the contracts. I've moved my price down. But I'm already at that point of I'd like to add Sam Bennett. But as you just mentioned, that's a lot of hockey over the last 3 years. He's already 28.
And he
plays a physical style. And he just had his best statistical season at 25 goals, 26 assists.
You say any piece, and I'm like, teams are going to sign like Thomas Nosek to $3 million per year now.
Dude, Erod's going to get a huge contract. I mean, like that's the cup tax, but that also is to you've potentially made three cup finals. You've already at least made three straight Eastern Conference finals. You're one of the best teams the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Inarguably.
It is disgusting. And the thing is that their UFAs are Bennett, Marchand, Ekblad, and then like Nico Sturm, Thomas Nosek, Nate Schmidt.
Oh yeah, the big guy. Marchand's just going to get, I think, a big deal. Is he 36, 37?
Marchand's 37.
Oh man, but someone's going to give him like a 6-year deal, and you're just going to sit there and go, are you serious? What is happening?
You want me to say something controversial?
You would do it?
I would give Brad Marchand $7 million without a doubt for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, well, the years is important. The years is incredibly important.
3 years.
3 years, I think I would do.
I'll sign him to 40.
I think I would do.
Because Brad Marchand, while a pest, still plays a very skilled-based game, and he's still good at it.
Yep.
Until he's not, I'd throw $7 million a year at Brad Marchand and not blink twice. Now you want me to say something really controversial? I think Toronto needs to do it.
I heard Jeremy and Nate were talking about that this morning, and I fully agreed with that. I mean, now the joke was that he goes to Toronto and like the Toronto curse still continues, but like he
can't kill you from the – well, he could kill you from the inside. But then I'd be like, what did Toronto do to you and who hurt you?
Yeah, in particular, what did they do to you? This is insane. But no, I mean, like, he is a killer. He is an absolute playoff killer.
But
he's also unbelievable.
Everyone forgets because of how scuzzy he – will toe the line or even cross it. Brad Marchand is a very good skill-based hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible in his own zone, but he is also a top-tier point producer still at 37. He's a comfortable top-six fixture.
Yeah.
So Marchand is a great idea there, and I think Toronto needs to be in on that. And I don't know if that's to fill the Marner-sized hole, but it definitely fills the Tavares one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at a team that has been consistently at the top of the National Hockey League standings for years now. Looking at them going, they're going to miss a 100-point player and get nothing out of it in return.
No, and I mean, and get probably significantly worse.
And get at least a little bit worse.
Will not be the Florida John Huberdeau go to Calgary, and we actually will it become ascend. A better team.
Well, they also got something for that.
Yes, yes.
They get nothing for Marner now.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it the minute that they didn't sign a new extension. How many times have I been saying something from the rooftops about Mitch Marner?
Yep.
To the Buffalo Sabres as the ideal. Now let's reintroduce that conversation in a different sense. Mitch Marner is kind of like the same way that I was pitching Miles Garrett. He is the face to an ideal that the Sabres need to be aggressive and need to add something to this team that they do not have. A top-tier talent.
Mm-hmm.
It can be through trade. It can be through unrestricted free agency. It doesn't have to be Marner. But he's the face representing the ideal.
Arguably, the ideal situation is actually not Marner.
Because he's going to cost so much.
Yeah.
It is a lot that you have to move books around for. The Sabres, as of this day, cannot afford the price he might command in unrestricted free agency.
Mm-hmm.
That said, money is always flexible. Players can be bought out. Matias Samuelsson, looking at you.
The cap is quote-unquote not real.
The cap is somewhat not real. In hockey, it's a little harder to
navigate. It's a little harder, yes.
But it's still going to be fascinating. And then wherever Marner signs, for example, that team gets a huge boost, at least in the regular season. The playoff failures are the playoff failures. And I think it has to do with the mix, not necessarily just the player. But I've got the captain saying there are too many passengers in this one when he's part of the problem.
He's such a big part of the problem. He's such a big part of the problem, man.
And it's a lack of awareness in that sense to not say anything. In Game 5, Chris Tanev saying, I'll take responsibility. I'll eat that 6-1 loss in Game 5. And everyone's like, wait, what did you do wrong?
We were talking about this a few weeks ago with Toronto of I just want a different story. It turned out it was the exact same story.
It is the exact same story, but now with a different ending.
Yeah, with a very different ending, which it actually feels like the ending.
It's the bad ending.
Like, Matthews will be the guy that's left. They've got Matthew Nyes, who I kind of like, and there's arguably maybe he's playing hurt. I mean, he had a pretty good start to the playoffs against Ottawa. But you mentioned they don't really have any prospects. They have, like, no first-round picks. Now they're going to lose a 100-point score. Tavares was a big part of this group. They're probably going to let him go. I already know there's a lot of Sabres fans. I'm right there with you. Just, he's making, like, $11 million a year. Let's just get that into the single digits, and I'd be happy. But it's done. If this goes how everything is pointing to, this is done. We can't talk about this core of the Toronto Maple Leafs anymore now.
And
it'll be also, Matthews still, sure. But for the most part, it's done.
And Matthews is kind of going, oddly enough, in an Alex Ovechkin arc.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, for the longest time, had the damnedest – actually, throughout Ovechkin's entire career, Washington had the damnedest time trying to get past the second round.
Yeah.
And it was oftentimes, though, it was the second round, not the first round. That mm-hmm. was typically mm-hmm. Toronto's
That was problem. Toronto's issue.
But Washington did this, too. They move on from some core pieces, and Washington breaks through one time. It turns out it's the only time that they break through, but they break through one time.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto has a lot of talent there. And there's a fifth player, by the way, in Toronto that should be getting a lot of the same questions. Mm-hmm. Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
He's been there
the whole time. That's right. Yeah.
The core four was not originally including Tavares. It included Rielly.
Because mm-hmm.
they were all four of them, young players coming up together.
Yeah.
Making the playoffs. Then they signed Tavares. And they still can't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the Leafs had this problem of depth being the issue. It is that the top four guys struggle. Their top four core players, I'm not even going to include Tavares on this as he was a UFA. Their core was their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think finally Brendan Shanahan loses his job. Because there's no one else that you haven't changed at that point other than the players. And, oh, by the way, two of them are conveniently going to take care of that.
Yeah, two of them you don't even have to worry about. You just let them walk.
It's not even a, oh, we need to get rid of them. No, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They are currently off your roster as of this moment. Your season ended. Their contract is up. Shanahan has to go. But I would be not surprised at all if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fallout from this is going to be something. And yes, that technically does mean that the hockey world does circle around Toronto at this moment, but for very differing reasons than you'd typically hear about.
I the older I get too, I'm cool with it. I'm fine with it. Like, I'm enjoying the hell out of the Knicks playoff run and the basketball world sort of like revolving around the Knicks and some of these young players. I'm cool with the fact that, like, for years, come playoff time, like, the main topic is Toronto, because arguably it kind of should have been until the Stanley Cup final. Toronto is a loaded roster in the regular season that becomes inept the moment the playoffs begin. And it has happened every year. They finally got past the bugaboo that was the first round. But ultimately, in 8 years, they've won two playoff series. But they've got multiple Rocket Richard trophies. They've got multiple Hart trophy voting. They've been a dominant team in every statistical category except the one that ultimately does matter, the playoffs.
Not only the playoffs, game seven.
Just game seven. Oh, man, the game sevens. Not really jumping on the NBA here. But game sevens yesterday were horrendous.
Well, there was one game seven that was good. It just didn't end with the right ending.
Well.
That's not a game seven. That's a game two. Nice job, Dave.
Game two.
Shut up.
I was like, well, it wasn't a game seven.
Shut up.
It was an elimination game.
They're now going to seven, quote unquote.
It was an elimination game that was close, but didn't have a good ending.
Not all television for sports was bad yesterday. No, it's more of what I was trying to say.
Also, Scottie Scheffler winning the PGA Championship. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. But it's just, you look at the two game sevens yesterday, Oklahoma City just ran through Denver. I mean, ran through Denver, was never really in a contest. And then you flipped on, and I tweeted yesterday, I was irrationally excited yesterday for a guy that kind of can't stand either of those franchises.
Yeah.
Florida's gotten to a point where I'm like, all right, I've seen way too much of you. I'm kind of done. Toronto, it's Toronto. And also, as we were saying, I want a different story here. Stop writing the same thing over and over and over again. 10 minutes into the game, Toronto couldn't get the puck out of their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's just going after them. And then, you know, we end the first period at 0-0, and you're like, you know what? Toronto had some nice chances there. That, you know, it's a few screw-ups here and there, but they had some nice shit. Bob had to make a great save. Here we go. It's in for a great game. Oh, it's 3-0 before he could blink in the second period. They scored, what, three of those goals in like a 5-minute run, 6-minute run?
Mm-hmm.
It was over before it even started. And then it eventually balloons to 6-1, which coincidentally was the exact same score as Game 5, both at Scotiabank Arena. Great job, guys. At home, you get absolutely embarrassed.
Dog walked twice by the same score.
Same score.
By the way, you mentioned how we're kind of sick of seeing the same writing right now. Three of the four teams that made the conference final last year have made it.
Yeah. Is Carolina the only new one?
The difference is Carolina and the Rangers. Because Carolina choked against the Rangers in the second round.
Dallas, Edmonton, and then Carolina and Florida.
Yep.
See, but Dallas Edmonton, and Florida, like, I'm jazzed for that.
But if Florida and Edmonton win again,
it's the same final.
Which then tells me maybe you should fix the lottery system.
Just don't have a lottery.
Yeah. That's by fix it, I mean take it back.
That conversation last week was so enlightening. Loved it. Not here. It was nationally.
But yeah.
That was
enlightening on to who the Rubes are.
So elitist.
Yeah.
We need a lottery because that's going to fix tanking. What tanking? Charlotte's not trying to be bad, guys.
Yeah.
They're trying to win desperately. They've just been bad. And then they get punished. Instead of having the first pick, they're like, no.
Also,
get the sixth.
Also,
move on.
Let's introduce a lottery system to a league where we've seen teams infamously eject themselves from the first overall pick in consecutive seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Houston yeeted themselves out of it after beating Indy in the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots.
Patriots are the most recent one.
In a game where the other team punted the game, by the way.
Yeah, I don't care.
The Patriots weren't the ones tanking that game. It was the Bills.
Yeah, I don't care if fans or radio hosts or anybody like that is like crying for tanking. That doesn't mean it's a big problem. I will say, I don't think the NHL loved how brazen the Sabres were about it.
That's why Tim Murray has never worked in sports ever again. That's why Sam Hinkie has never worked in sports ever again.
I will tell you, I think other organizations don't take kindly to that.
No.
Does it happen every now and then? Of course. Is it an epidemic? No. Do we need to introduce a lottery to somehow fix it?
No.
What are you on?
Yeah.
It doesn't fix it. It makes it worse. Yeah. It makes the good team stay competitive because even when they're a middling team, they've got a chance at the number one overall pick. Or not even just that, a top five pick.
And
look at the NBA lottery results. It was Dallas, San Antonio, and Philadelphia.
Look at the NHL.
Yeah.
New York and Utah.
Yeah. Two teams who were fine, good, almost. And now, cool, you have the number one and number two overall pick.
And while Utah didn't move up to the number two overall pick in that one, they did move up 10 spots.
Are they three or four?
Four.
Four. But so, like,
the 11th,
they moved up.
The 11th and 14th place teams won those lotteries.
Yeah. You know who would love a lottery in the NFL? Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would love a lottery.
Yes. Pittsburgh would love a lottery so much.
They might be the only team who would love a lottery. Everyone else would be like,
because
cool,
because they can stay mid forever and then land a first overall pick.
Bingo.
And change the entire dynamic of their franchise.
Yeah, cool. I think we'd all would love to see an 8-9, 9-8 Pittsburgh Steelers team in 2 years land Arch Manning. I think we'd all love that. Ridiculous. So dumb. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to talk a little bit about the NHL playoffs, especially Toronto and everything that's going on there or what is eventually going to be going on there. But we've also got two guests today, and starting right after this quick timeout, Sal Mariana of the Democrat and Chronicle. It is a Monday at 10:30. Talk a little baseball. We had the Subway Series and the Freeway Series going on this weekend. Get his thoughts on some of that as well. And we'll see, you know, if he watched Game 7s yesterday, which were bad TV. Man at 11, Zach Pearson of the Bear Report. There is a book coming out, Seth Wickersham. Caleb Williams was a part of it. Not a great light on the Bears organization. We'll get Zach's thoughts on that coming up at 11. But, of course, your call is always welcome to 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
Swings and sends one to right. That's It's a grand slam. The contributions tonight of Freed, Goldschmidt, and Bellinger, difference makers.
Cody Bellinger, grand slam last night in the three-game Subway Series against the New York Mets. The Yankees take two games, and Bellinger has seven hits, two home runs, including that one grand slam. He dominated the Mets as the Yankees take two of three against the Mets.
Wow. Something of, quote-unquote, vengeance being paid?
I don't know. It's just unbelievable.
There's that Juan Soto thing and...
Oh, the Juan Soto thing.
Yeah, there was an extra line of drama in the Subway Series.
That is right. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Marana of the Democrat and Chronicle joins us on this beautiful Monday morning. Sal, how are we doing?
Well, guys, I'm doing pretty good. It was a great weekend series. You know I'm a Yankees fan. Mm-hmm. Taking two out of three from Howard Simon's Mets is always a good thing. Yeah, it was. The games were, it's the middle of May, and I always say every game counts, but, it is still the middle of the May, right? And in this series, it felt like October, which was great. I mean, Yankee Stadium was pumped, and obviously Soto coming back for the first time certainly helped that. But these were three games that felt like October baseball, and it was great. It was really great theater all weekend.
It did have that feeling, Sal. I think about it. It's not obviously a divisional matchup, but like the Padres Dodgers or those early season matchups always have that fervor in the crowd. There's a different level of excitement. Home runs, you're flipping the bat, you're throwing it. I mean, there was an energy there, and that Bellinger grand slam. And yeah, I didn't realize how good of a series he was having up until 25 minutes ago. Seven hits, two home runs. I mean, he was on fire.
Oh, well, that was one of the storylines of the weekend, right? I mean, Soto goes to the Mets. He basically spurns the Yankees, and they had to pivot in the offseason and use some of that money to go fix the roster, which I've said time and time again, I was fully okay with Soto moving on because I knew the Yankees could then upgrade other positions. Well, part of the retool was getting Bellinger. They acquired him in a trade from the Cubs. They signed Paul Goldschmidt. They signed Max Fried. They would not have signed Max Fried if they had brought Soto back because there's no way they could have paid for him. So right there, those three guys were, part of the plan to once Soto was gone. And all three of those guys had huge weekends for the Yankees. Fried was great last night. Goldschmidt, as he's had all season, was clutch in certain spots, and then Bellinger was really the man of the match, right? I mean, all weekend long, he had gotten off to a rough start with the Yankees. It was not going well. His average was down to like 191 at one point, and all of a sudden, he's caught fire. He's had a 13-game hitting streak, and it really kind of culminated in these three games. He was outstanding both at the plate, and he also made some big plays in the field. So, yeah, that was really nice to see.
Sal, I think I need to do this as a bit. As long as we're going to keep talking, hey, the Rockies won since last time we talked. But I'm looking like elsewhere around baseball, though. The Minnesota Twins were on unconscious heater. They won 13 straight. That just ended. And they put themselves back into conversations now of being a playoff team as well. Who are some of the teams around baseball that you're looking at as potential wild card threats that might be able to be a little surprising this year?
Yeah, I mean, the Twins are definitely there. They started off terribly, and they ripped off this 13-game winning streak. They got a couple guys back, and Royce Lewis is one of their best players, and the guy is just he's as bad as Stanton when it comes to injuries. He's always hurt. So they've got him back now. They survived the collision last week between Correa and Buxton. I know Buxton's back. I'm pretty sure Correa is too. That could have been a disaster, but it ended up being okay. And they're playing really well. Now, all of a sudden, that AL Central is a pretty good division. The Tigers have the best record in baseball, right? And now the Twins have gotten red hot, and the Guardians are still hanging in. Even the Royals are right there. They're only 5.5 back. So that's been an interesting division. People forget last year, everyone laughs at the AL Central. they sent three teams to the postseason in 2024. The Yankees took care of two of them, beating the Royals and the Guardians. That could happen again because I'll tell you what, the AL East looks incredibly mediocre outside of the Yankees, and the AL West kind of the same thing. So if you're looking for surprise teams right now, I think the Twins would certainly qualify as a team that could sneak in there. And then, you know, we'll see on the Guardians and Angels, or as Guardians and Royals.
No, no, it's okay, Angels. I mean, they swept the Dodgers in the freeway series.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still five games below 500, but it's fine.
Yeah, I don't see the Angels making it eventually, but what a weekend for them.
Yeah.
To go into Dodger Stadium and sweep the Dodgers, I think it was the first time since 2010 that they've swept a freeway series. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I didn't pay too much attention to what was happening out there, but that was a shocking result to see them sweep the Dodgers. Because, you know, the Dodgers are still a great team. I just don't know what the heck happened out there.
Neither do I, really. I mean, Zach Neto batting leadoff seems to work. Matthew Lugo being called up is kind of fun. I was in Pittsburgh this weekend, Sal, with my girlfriend, and we were keeping up on the scores, and she goes, is this, like, surprising? And I'm like, this is the most surprising thing that's happened to me in, like, 6 months. Like, this is unreal. Like, they are not a good baseball team.
Oh. Were you there for the Skeens Day yesterday?
No. I think they were in Philadelphia. I wanted to go to Pittsburgh.
They were in Philly. Okay, I'm sorry.
I wanted to be in Pittsburgh to see a Pirates game. Didn't work out. Weather was still beautiful. And ultimately, it worked out. I do want to talk, though, real quick, because you did mention the AL East and how kind of mediocre it's been. Baltimore, I know, has been a story all year with how bad they've been. They fired their manager as well. This kind of now is also sort of a running topic with our conversations, is a manager is fired. We talk about it. But they... I mean, not that long ago, they were kind of seen as, you know, they were doing what Houston was doing. They're going to get a ton of prospects all come up together and be good. And now they're maybe going the way of Toronto, just a lot faster.
Yeah, the Orioles are obviously the most disappointing team in baseball this year. That's just a shocking story. They won 101 games 2 years ago, won the division, and then, you know, flamed out in the postseason. And then last year, you know, they still won 91, but you could tell this all started probably in the second half of last season because they were cruising along. In fact, they were in first place last year until early September, and then the Yankees finally took it over. But this was starting with the Orioles last season. They're kind of a decline, and they're in complete free fall right now. And it really is because, well, two reasons. Their pitching is just absolutely horrendous. They did nothing in the offseason to upgrade a rotation that wasn't really all that great last year. But the most surprising thing is that all that young talent, all those top prospects that a lot of us who follow the AL East very closely were worried about, that they would become the next, you know, the next dynasty type of team, because all these young kids are coming up together. They just have underperformed tragically this season. Adley Rutschman, number one, their catcher, he's been awful since the All-Star break last year. So, yeah, they fire Hyde. That was a complete scapegoat because he really has nothing to do with them. But they're in big trouble in Baltimore. And that is a surprising story to me.
Yeah, they have the worst run differential in the AL, minus 85. They only have one more win than the White Sox, but the White Sox sit at minus 53. I mean, that kind of tells you, too, how bad that pitching rotation's been.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they lost Grayson Rodriguez, who's probably their ace. They just DFA'd Kyle Gibson. I mean, they signed him late in spring training. He just made a few starts, and he's terrible. I mean, he got killed again this weekend, and they finally just cut ties. I know Eflin came back. He was on the injured list, and he got rung up yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they do there. I can't see them being buyers now to try to fix it unless they get really hot between now and the trade deadline. They might be sellers, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, like I said, I did not see the Orioles just collapsing the way they have this year. But I'm happy about it because as a Yankee fan, that was a team that I sort of worried about before the season started.
Sal, shifting over, I'm a hockey junkie, and I headed out to Rochester on Friday night to catch game two between the Rochester Americans and the Laval Rocket. I got to say, that was probably one of the more entertaining games that I've been to in a while. I've tried to make a Rochester playoff game every year, and I was able to make this one. I was, A, surprised at the fact that Laval's game plan just seemed like try to take everyone's head off. And then Rochester, though, overcoming it. The pass from Rusek to Kulik for the game winner on the power play was nothing short of spectacular. And a quote from Michael Leone after the game: "You watch the NHL playoffs, you need your best players to be your best players. We saw something happen in Toronto where that's not been the case. They lose. But Rochester, those top-tier Sabres prospects, shined in game two."
Yeah, I mean, that, I'll tell you what, I missed game one. I missed game one of the previous series. I've covered every home game since game one, because it was the first night of the draft in the previous series. These two games against Laval have been outstanding. The Amherst lost the first game, but they played really well. I mean, Laval was just the better team that night, and they were the best team in the AHL all year. They had 101 points. They are, like you said, they're physical. They will finish a check every opportunity they get, but they're also incredibly talented and skilled. So I really thought the Amherst were going to be in over their heads. Friday night, backs are kind of against the wall, because the next three games now are in Laval, and they could not obviously go down 0-2 and think they were going to win. Now they're back even at 1-1, and we'll see. I mean, they have really played this team, I think, straight on. They're pretty well evenly matched based on what I've seen. And the other night, well, you were there, they played well. The Amherst got some clutch performances. The goal by Kulik to win it was, you're right, the pass from Rusek, you know, seeing eye, got through traffic through the crease, and then it goes out to Kulik. He goes down to one knee and just rips a laser through a screen. It was a great goal. I was really impressed by the Amherst. So now we'll see. They got to play the next three in Laval. That's going to be tough, but if they get past that team, I don't know, man. they could be in position to do something really special.
Game three Wednesday, Sal was mentioned, in Laval, and then the Yankees have a three-game series starting tomorrow at home against the Texas Rangers. How are we feeling about that one, Sal?
Yeah, Rangers are another team that I think people thought would be better. I mean, right now they're two games over 500 and they're 2.5 out because the AL West is not great. So I think they're going to be in it, obviously. What's killing them is unbelievably horrible offense. They're like 26th in runs per game and OPS, all these ridiculous numbers that for their lineup just should not be. Now, on the flip side, what's going to be a problem for the Yankees is this team is pitching lights out. They are really, really stacked, and the Yankees are going to see DeGrom in this series, who's back from his injury. He's healthy. He looks great. Eovaldi has pitched incredibly well for them, and they're going to see him in the last game. So it's going to be, I would guess, probably a low-scoring series, and it'll be tough. The Rangers are a good team, and they might be a team that starts to figure it out here as they tick it up in competition against the Yankees.
All right. Sal, thank you so much for jumping on us. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
Sal Marana of the Democrat and Chronicle, talking both MLB baseball and the Rochester AHL Americans. I got to get to one of those games. I have to.
Well,
I need
them to win two in Laval.
Yeah, I know too many people who have gone and have been like, dude, it's awesome. And I'm like, Rochester's not that far.
It was 9,100 plus packed at Blue Cross Arena on Friday night, including myself and one of our friends, Nick. Mm-hmm. We drove down the 90 to go to that game, and it was a great time. Again, a part of my heart broke because, you know, I'm seeing a party in the plaza for Rochester in the playoffs.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, just do it one more, just one different time. Because that also, man, the playoffs that he's having, Rochester's Lord and Savior, do you believe in Cal Clegg? Because if not, I'm here to spread the doctrine that is Cal Clegg.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time he's ever been in a playoffs, by the way. When he was with Rochester, when he was with the Sabres organization, the Rochester Americans never made the playoffs. He jumps around the AHL. He doesn't make the postseason until now. This is his first playoffs.
He's performing.
Performing better than Toronto's guys do in the league. I did find that funny, though, that quote from Mike Leone, though, of your best players need to be your best players. And he references the NHL playoffs. And then we see Toronto goof it.
goofing. And
with their best players not being their best players.
Yep, 100%. We'll get more on that after a quick timeout. We'll read some of your tweets as well. Talking about potential Sabres off-season moves, what could happen, in the NHL as a whole. But before we hit our next timeout, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGRM550.com for details. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on. Coming up at 11 as well, Zach Pearson of the Bear Report will get more on the Chicago Bears as potentially a crucial season is on the horizon for them. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zachary Jones, Derek Kramer here hanging with you on a beautiful Monday morning. It is the middle of May.
It may be a Monday morning, but at least it looks nice.
We've got playoff action still going on. Nothing really tonight, though. Everything kind of starts tomorrow. Which is okay. I think we need a little bit of a reprieve. The Game 7s were not great yesterday.
It's also because there were Game 7s. They're not going to
force you to play right away. But I'm ready. I'm in. I love the conference finals in both sports. I know, as you mentioned earlier in the hour,
it's the same.
Hockey's essentially the same, except for, you know, move the Rangers out and put Carolina in. I still kind of like it. I think it still looks good. There's a lot of storylines that can be changed and fixed and legacies, engaged,
can
I guess.
Can Edmonton get back to try to right the wrongs of the Stanley Cup final last year?
And maybe against the exact same team. Let's go, baby. Come on.
But also, there's potential of a Mikko Rantanen bowl on the other side of that. The other two teams in the conference final. Ta-da!
I didn't even think about Carolina-Dallas. Oh, man. And
also, if it's Carolina-Dallas, I'm probably involuntarily pooing my pants and throwing up at the same time.
I'm there. Mikko Rantanen's been a man possessed.
I'm screaming, crying, throwing up so mad that it would be Dallas and Carolina. Like, that would probably, at least there's the Mikko Rantanen bowl of it, but I would hate both of those teams so much.
So much fun. It'd be so much fun.
I would hate that so much. I actually need the Florida Panthers now for once.
I think I'd probably want Edmonton,
After I've been cheering against them now for the first two rounds, I need the Florida Panthers to actually do this.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh, you want a rematch of 06.
That's what I was thinking of, a rematch of 06, and this time Edmonton actually wins it. Let's go.
I want Carolina nowhere near the playoffs.
Let's go.
Because,
well, they're in the playoffs every year.
Near the Stanley Cup, I should say, because I don't understand how they continue to get away with being this. But also, the Hurricanes are more of the Bills than the Leafs are, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They're another team, though, that it has been. You got to get over this hump. You got to make the final. At least of the four teams, at least Dallas has made a final in recent years. Of course, the other two teams just made the final. Carolina's the one where it's, okay, it's been almost 20 years. Are you sure you're good?
Are you going to figure it out, guys?
Are you going to figure it out? I hope not.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's also get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We kind of threw it up to Twitter a little bit of like just having fun.
We got a couple of responses up.
Toronto is going to be vultured to death.
Oh,
here,
my.
It seems like in the offseason.
I can only imagine listening to 590 right now.
No. No, that'd be a long day.
Long day. No, your radio just gets set on fire.
Yeah, everyone's Judas.
It's
get rid of everybody.
It spontaneously combusts if you just turn the down. Oh! Like,
do we even, at this point, do you think Toronto Maple Leafs fans are even thinking about Game 1 Anthony Stolarz?
I don't think so anymore.
I don't think so.
It's because it's the narrative that has been here for every year.
Yep.
Getting connected with our fans, though. Wing Eater saying, don't need high-end talent, alluding to Marner. We need leadership. That said, give me Tavares at a reduced salary instead. Tavares is going to be a very popular idea as well. And that's why I say that Mitch Marner is the face of the ideal. But a John Tavares signing is not a bad thing either.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a proper cap hit.
He's been making $11 million on this contract, $11 million per year on this contract with Toronto. If you can get that down to like $7.5 million and sign him for like 3 years, 2 years.
Craig tweets in.
Pretty good.
Craig tweeting in, do the Sabres know which direction they want to go? Go big after Mitch in free agency and move number 9 in prospects and try to see if you can get another NHL-ready player? or rely on the current group, re-sign and the RFAs, and try to get some middle-tier free agents again.
I mean, y'all know where I sit on the number 9 pick. I know it doesn't get moved often, but move it.
It's a sweetener. It's not a core piece to a trade.
I think you're right. It is a sweetener to maybe one of your more high-end prospects, and that's where...
Or then you can lower the level of tier on your prospect, adding number 9 to kind of like help soften the blow on that end. That said, the Sabres have a pretty good draft record. I don't mind if they'd make the pick at this point. Because
which is weird. They have like...
I believe in their scouting staff.
Under Kevin Adams, the drafting has gotten good.
I believe in their scouting staff. Adam tweeting in a decent conversation back and forth, talking about how I'm ready to betray my program director the minute the Sabres make the playoffs. You guys would be covering the draft in that Sabres playoff Saturday. You'd just be doing the draft and Sabres pregame at Key Bank Center. And you know what? It's not a bad idea. And you responded back with, bring in Brian and we'll have a party. It'll be a party in the plaza, too, if they host a game.
There we go.
Oh, actually, they probably have a viewing party. It's the first time in 14, 15 years.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot for that.
So I would hope that next year we can do the draft from the arena. That'd be awesome.
That'd be kind of cool. 803-0550. Again, the number to call. You want to jump on some of these conversations we're having today. But coming up after a quick timeout, Zach Pearson of the Bear Report will join us talking the Chicago Bears, the potential book coming out, or not the potential, the book coming out by Seth Wickersham. Talking about the, issues Caleb Williams had initially going to the Chicago Bears, get his thoughts on that, and also some other stuff with the Bears arguably winning the offseason again, or at least being one of those teams. We'll get all his thoughts on that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.